No airbags here. We die like real men, is what I saw on a vehicle today. Yes. And as I look deeper into the back of the windshield, kind of like a peeper, which is kind of like this camera angle. Kind of looks like a chat roulette, peeping Tom, someone playing at a camera, and I just happen to be talking into a microphone. So you were secretly peeping. Meeping. But yeah, no airbags here. We die like real men. And of course, it was a lady driving the vehicle. Middle-aged lady. Presumably. I don't want to make assumptions. You know, people either age really fast or they don't age at all. It's kind of weird. No one just looks their age anymore. You know, I just need people to look their age, you know? But it's maybe one of the dumbest stickers I've ever had or I've ever seen. It literally makes no fucking sense. First of all, I'm pretty sure it's fucking illegal to go to a car shop and have them take your airbags out of your vehicle beyond safety. Two, imagine trying to tell your kids, they'd be like, how did dad die? How he got in a car accident. And be like, oh, was it the sudden impact from the airbags? Like, no. We took the airbags out because your dad's a real man. So you inhibited the ability of me having a dad from the age of 6 to the rest of my life, the most important years of having a dad, because he died like a real man. Right. That is the type of fucking logic you get out here. And, you know, I don't know who's in charge of making these bumper stickers, but you need to bump it to a new career. Because you're just out here creating fatherless children. It actually makes people, like, that's not even like a cute sign. That's not even some like, oh, I have 4 dogs. And it's like one of those little family tree stickers where it has a bunch of people. And then, like, you know, it'll have like a cute little dog or a cat. And it'll be like, my fur babies. Like, it's not even anything cute like that. It's literally like, hey. You know, you ever heard the, there's actually a saying out there. And it's actually, there was a UFC fighter. A UFC couple. A guy and a girl that both did MMA. And she admitted that watching him get beat up, which is his job. Well, not that it's your job to get beat up, but more likely, you do this job, you're going to get beat up. You know, it is what it is. She says, seeing him get beat up, she could never look at him the same. Now, you think someone that does the same profession would be very understanding that, hey, this just comes with the territory. And it's not like he got beat up by some twink on the street, you know? He's getting beat up by a guy who trains to fight and beat up people. You know? The fact that he survived is a win. It kind of reminds me of this. Like, imagine if this man got in a car accident. Look at me creating this fictional situation. Man got in a car accident. Really bad. Airbags deployed, and it saved his life. Gets to the hospital. Wife rushes in, or girlfriend, with all their kids. It's like, oh my God, is he okay? They're like, daughter's like, well, you know, he's got a pretty severe concussion. He's got some pretty bad cuts, but, you know, fortunately, because of the airbag, you know, he survived. And she'd be like, wait, did you say airbag? Be like, well, yeah, the airbag. It was a pretty severe crash. If it wasn't for the air, so you're saying there was an airbag in the vehicle? Like, yes, that's kind of how American-owned vehicles work. And the doctor's all befuddled. Like, hey, what's wrong? He's not supposed to have airbags. How am I supposed to explain this to my kids? Your dad survived because he didn't want to die like a real man. It's like, I mean, the guy ran a red light and killed me. I'm not the one that did something stupid, you know? but, yeah, that would be a crazy-ass invention. I'm not advocating for this. I just thought of this. What if your car can detect that you committed the crime or you were the one doing an illegal... Like, let's say you were someone that ran a red light or you rolled through a stop sign. You didn't yield properly. Your car can detect that. And as you commit this thing, it doesn't stop the accident. But if you get in an accident because of your stupidity or your lack of paying attention or just your inability to pay attention in most cases, you get sideswiped. Now, what if your car detects that and it doesn't deploy the airbag because, like, hey, you know what? You cause this. You let the lay of the land. You let God choose if you have a chance to live in, you know? That would be a wild-ass invention. And I wouldn't advocate for that. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's possible. But imagine just that way of thinking. It's really, like, no different than you were trying to poison your husband. I know this is such an extreme exaggeration of a stupid sign on a bumper. But the fact of the matter is, someone's comfortable putting that back there and thinking this makes any logical sense to even be funny. I don't know who would read that and be like, haha, good one. Because there's nothing good about it. You know, we make these laws for bikers to wear bikes. Or for bikers to wear bikes. What a dumb fuck I am. For bikers to wear helmets. And then, apparently, I'm supposed to deploy an airbag out of my vehicle to make someone feel like... I guess in this instance... Imagine if you're the guy in that vehicle. Being like... He's like, oh, no man of mine is getting behind the wheel with the airbag that can save their lives. And you're like, oh, okay. So I just got to take the fate of an 8,000-pound vehicle smashing into me at 80 miles per hour while I'm completely sideswiping unprepared. Well, a real man would survive that. It's like, yeah, no amount of shoulder presses are surviving that. I'm sorry. That's not how being man-made works. I don't care if you can deadlift the gym. It doesn't really matter. But I don't know. I've never been to an accident where airbags were deployed. I don't think so. Not that I can remember. Maybe I was knocked out by one, didn't even know. But I heard they hurt really fucking bad, though. They do not feel good. But... it's better than not having one. But the sudden impact when you're not expecting it. Because most instances, as someone who's never been in an accident, knock on wood. That's not wood. It's close enough. I assume accidents don't feel good. But, you know, I don't know. It's so stupid. Like, I don't know. But yeah. Anyways, enough of that. Let me deploy an emergency landing. Welcome to episode 281 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I am your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah. Recording this on 10/12. Jesus, my speaking needs a speaking engagement class. Recording this at 10/12 p.m. Eastern on June 7th, 2024. for the archives. And you know what that means? That means in 1 hour and 48 minutes, it's a pretty big event in my life. Something that changed my life greatly. It will be the 3-year anniversary of this podcast, where I recorded probably as much episodes in the first year than I have the past two combined. But that just shows priorities and your will of commitment has completely waned. But you know what? That's the beauty of the beast, or the nature of the beast, or the belly of the beast. I do have a lot of hair. Even though beast is a very relative term. It's like chupacabra. Or more like chalupacabra. I wouldn't be surprised if Taco Bell probably uses like 0.5% of chupacabras in their meat. But yeah. 3-year anniversary of the pod. Boy, has it changed. And as I'm recording in a unfamiliar setting, I kind of like this setting. You know, I've gone through many setting changes. I miss the old, you know, the best relaxed ones are ones where I'm laying down in bed. This is actually kind of nice, I'm not going to lie. It's got a nice at-home feel. It almost makes you feel like you're at home with me. No, you get to look at the same mold that I do. but good times, you know. I think I do this every year on June 8th. It's like, it's more important than my birthday. This day changed my life, changed my trajectory, changed my purpose. That sounded gay. You guys have seen, felt, and the new surge, in, you know, it's crazy. When you don't post as often, it gives people actually time to listen back. I've had a recent, like, wave of plays. I don't check the analytics often. I'm kind of a busy man now. But the audio analytics, last 30 days have been kicking. Kicking like Post Malone say. Kick it like Jackie Chan. I never get the whole Post Malone thing. Not saying he's not good. But I don't get the whole like mass appeal. It's like he's hip hop, but you would not like say Post Malone rap battle lyricist type of thing. But at the same time, he's not really like pop. Cause you know, I don't know, I don't really like think his music is like catchy. It seems kind of repetitive. But he can, like, actually do music well. Like, he could play guitar. He could kind of do country, rock. But the genres he's most known for are probably the ones he's not really all that into. It's kind of weird how that works. But, yeah. That is what we do on this pod. We go off on nonsensical rants. And I look around and find something to talk about. But don't worry, we got a jam, jelly-packed show. So jammed up that I put peanut butter on my nipples and call it a day. But yeah. So, you know, excitement's a funny thing. Excitement is one of those things that it can completely deter kind of reason. You have excitement that gives purpose in very, very distraughten times. There you go. There's a fucking term for your noobs. Distraughten. Is that a real word? No. But the weird thing, there's certain things you say. It's not a real word, but you know exactly what I mean. That's the beauty of the English language. It's all about convincing. I feel like a complete gaslighter of the English language. It's like, I don't need you to look it up. No, don't look it up. You need to trust me. Have blind faith in me, baby. Speaking of blind faith, Gorilla Mind, today's non-sponsor sponsor, Strawberry Candy. Ooh, I love candy. And it actually tastes like more like strawberries than strawberries. Ooh, yeah. That shit's good. Real good. More like real Megan good. All you need to do is get in a domestic abuse situation and Megan Good's by your side. Alright. He was proven innocent. But, you know. Seems like a weird time to want to start a situation with someone. But, you know, we seek trouble. I'm a man. I don't seek trouble. I seek a creature of habit. I like doing the same stuff, and I'm more than happy with that. It makes me want to travel the world, even if you can't really travel. I mean, you know, not well. I can travel, but eh. I was actually watching a movie called Up in the Air about a few weeks ago, I think. It's this movie with George Clooney where he's in... I'm trying to remember exactly what he does. He basically, his job is to... businesses hire him. He works for like a firm, or not firm, but like a company where their job is... he flies to their business and he fires people directly because the companies don't want to do the work. I've never been fired. You know, I've actually thought about it. I've actually never been fired. Are there times I wish? Be like, yeah, that would be kind of fun. Them just being like, you suck. Or, hey, we have to let you go. Hearing those heartbreaking words to change your life. I've always wanted to be fired. Not like really wanting to be fired. But it's like, you know, anytime something's never happened to you, you're always intrigued how it would be. But anyways... that's up in the air for now. yeah, I don't even think they would have to tell me. I probably would just know, like, yep, that action will do it. but no, the dude's job is to go to businesses and fire people. And, you know, typically it's to fire a mass amount of people at a company when they have to do layoffs and the bosses are too pussy or there's a... you know, severance package he offers them, and there's a way, it'll be a weird job, right? Because you're getting paid well, you get the travel, but you're doing a really shitty thing, not illegal or immoral, because it's just part of the business, but you're doing something that you know is going to affect someone's livelihood, and that's kind of the moral dilemma with the job, because typically it's jobs with like corporations, like, you know, he's not going to Burger King firing the cashier, like they're not doing all that. You know, they're going to corporations with salaries and people with been there for years, people with 401k plans, people with health insurance, people with kids. There's a whole different gravity of the situation of what he's typically embarking on. But like, it's kind of like that weird thing. It's like he enjoys not having to commit to a place to live. Like, he doesn't have any real commitments. But he gets to travel for free. He's building all these traveling miles. You know, it's one thing. Like, he, only the fifth person in, I think in the movie, fictional-wise, he's like the fifth person in history to hit X amount of miles. And he has a special gold card. And it kind of hits him like, my literally whole life accomplishment has just been getting one of the something that only 6 or 7 other people in the world have, and at the expense of what? To avoid any real meaning? Because, you know, part of the beauty that he likes about the job is he doesn't have to be at home, be in one place. You know, his at-home apartment is just like someone's making much as him. Like, he's basically not there for 9 months, you know. So there's really nothing there in this bare-ass apartment. And, you know, is it morally, it's like, there's always uncomfortable parts of every job, per se. But a job like that where your whole job is to disappoint people. Like, you're getting paid for it. It's not your fault. You're the third party of it. But your job is to affect people's livelihoods negatively. You know, are you wrong for wanting or being okay doing that? Is there something wrong with you where you are okay looking in people's faces and saying, I'm fucking up your life right now? But here's a nice packet, you know, here's a severance pay, and not my problem after this. It's not his fault, but you're not any better for participating in it. But look, I'm not the moral of judging character. You know, that's the beauty. It's like, you either travel, but you never build a foundation of a home. Or, you stay at home, quote-unquote. You could build a lot of foundation, but you're so stuck in that foundation that you don't even know what to look for when you're traveling. Wow, look at Clint. Sounds like some bullshitisms I just came up with. BS-isms. But weirdly enough, maybe something to it. I don't know. But that movie, it kind of opened my eyes to a few things. One, I got way too many subscriptions. Like, you know, I think there's actually apps like Rocket Money where you actually, it tells you everything that is wrong. Or, not everything is wrong. Well, it can be. It basically goes through every bill, subscription, thing you pay for. How much money you spend on this and that. Or, you could just, I don't know. If you can't do that through your own bank, then your bank doesn't want you to actually pay attention to what you're spending your money on. But it's kind of weird. We have to use banks. Like, think about the crazy process of what having a bank is. And I'm not this anti-federal banking guy. What I will say, I understand the purpose that having a bank, you know, your money is insured if you were to lose it, right? It's like, oh, well, if you have a bank, you know, the FDIC will protect up to $250,000. It's like, yeah, that's great and all. But, you know, if I just had the money in my hands, there would have been no opportunity for someone to steal my money digitally, right? Because the only reason why money is so easy to steal is because it's through the same 8 banks. One bank has the same routing number for every fucking person. The only difference in the account number is a few digits. That's not that hard to figure out. Everything is saved inside of our computers because we're too lazy to want to fucking remember shit. Everything is auto-saved. Everyone's shit is being sold. So really, the banks, it's kind of a double, like, the banks are really just there. And I was thinking about this with 401k, because I was talking with someone about it. It's like, when you really think about what a 401k is, all it is incentive for them. Oh, we'll match your 401k. Okay, cool. So the incentive is like, hey, we'll take the money out for you and double it. It's like, or I could just have that money and save it my fucking self, you know? And maybe if I had more money, I could save. I would have that money that I could use towards something to make me more money. But instead, you want to take a chunk of my money. And then when Social Security is useless by the year 2034, when they say only like 78% of Social Security will even be able to be accessed, so all this tax dollars and Social Security we've been given, you may not even be able to access a good majority of it. So, I don't know. It seems like a weird system where basically they're saying, we know y'all are so fucking stupid with money that we will, quote unquote, save the money for you because we have great incentive to save your money for you when we can look at how much money. And all it is all of our money's in the bank so they can use our money to give out to more people loans and so they make more money. And it's just this endless cycle of economic stupidity. Literally, our money is just being used to give money to other people. It's almost like, you know, military trading. I don't know, you know. I'm just a dumbass. Not really a dumbass. But, you know, I'm just a guy who asks questions and answers my questions with answers that don't really answer the question. It's a pretty questionable system I got going here. Yeah, you know, on to important things. I gotta say, I've come across a lot of situations. I'm a man, I try to be very mindful. Speaking of taxes, I'm aware that, you know, it's not great. And it kind of, actually, this is not even change the subject. It's actually part of the same fucking subject. This is how messed up we have gotten just with the simplicity of how these businesses operate with tipping. This is, by the way, this is not an anti-tipping rant. It is a how disproportionate tipping has gotten that waiters and waitresses have to resort to means just so they don't get fucked. Like, I've never understood the system. And there is a real thing with these more advanced restaurants where all tips are allocated to share with the kitchen, share with the chefs. It's always been dumb as fuck. There should be options. Like, well, how come at restaurants they don't have options of, like, here's a tip to the cooks, here's a tip to the waiters? Why not have two separate columns? And then we can determine who actually was the food better than the service or vice versa. You know? But then there's these situations where it's like all the tips are split across everyone. We all know not everyone does an even amount of work or even a relatively even amount of work. I've never worked anywhere where everyone does even amount of work. Even Steven. But it's gotten so bad that we've created the automated where you tip on a credit card. And it's convenient. I'll be honest, most of the time I do. It's convenient. I don't carry cash around. And it's by design. What can I say? Everything is, like, I have to go out of my way to actually get cash since, you know, I make my money illegally. And it's one of those things where you have a disconnect in how much money you spend or not spend, for one. That's why, really, they created it like this. Two, it's a way where they can actually just track how much people are making. But the incentive is, oh, it's convenience. It's like, but now tips are being taxed on top of how much someone's making hourly. And so, really, people aren't really making that much. It's gotten to the point where now we have waitresses asking you to cash app them. I don't want no waitress's name in my cash app. It looks like I'm sending money to a sex cam website. You know? That'd be the cheapest sex cam website I've ever seen advertisement. $8. It probably gets you like 30 seconds. Not that I would know. That's for people who want viruses on their computer. But, you know, it's just weird because now I gotta have random ass people in my Cash App, random ass people in my messages if I gotta tip them through these automated means. And don't even get me started on these restaurants that fucking make you scan a QR code on your phone to fucking look at their menu. If I come to eat at your restaurant, the whole point is to get away from my phone. It's to get away from the noise. I don't have to go there and scan and look at my fucking phone to see your overpriced tortellini. Just give me at the very least, just print out some fucking weak ass paper. Made me scan a fucking QR code to look at your menu. But you know what? It's become so normalized That's the type of lazy shit we let these restaurants do to us. We have to go through a third party means to just fucking tip our waitresses. We have to scan a QR code to look at a fucking menu. What if I went to the restaurant and my phone was almost dead? I can't look at your fucking menu? You can't print out? Like, how hard is it to spend a couple $100 to send out to make 40 laminate menus one time for the convenience? People can look in the menu and they will probably spend more money that way anyways. They have to scroll through their phone, go into the next page, this, that, asking questions about this. Like, actually, you gotta go to the next one and scroll. Oh, what is it? Oh, I can't fucking read. Oh, okay. Then I got my brightness on fucking full. Then my phone will probably restart if I'm, you know, looking at the appetizer. It's just so... It's designed for convenience, but it's now inconvenient. Going out is supposed to be convenient. And now, it's become more inconvenient than ever. But Jesus, you know. Good times. But yeah. It's a little something to get off the breastbone. I don't even know if that's what you call a male breast. More like the breast gyno bone. I would like a little gyno. Make me feel like a real human again. A flawed human. That's what I need. I need to get a little puffy again. I need to go on a quote-unquote dirty bulk, as they say. I need to go on a dirty bulk just to, you know, get the lean tissue out of me, you know. Get a little puff. Not daddy, but, you know. Some girls like the puff. Jesus, Clint. You're such a nincompoop. I think there was something I meant to talk about on a previous episode. Nah, I already did that. Nah. I don't know. But yeah. I will say, I know I have noticed something, which I guess it probably explains all the shit I complained about. I think too much stimulation aggravates me, you know? I've noticed I'm someone, I like to do one thing, focus on one thing at a time. I don't like outside noise when I'm doing something. I like to do and do, you know? Do and doer. Dewey. That was someone's scream. Never got into scream. I've gotten in the cream. You say you want a serial killer, baby. Pew, pew. Yeah. But, you know, too much stimulation is a real thing. And it goes through all, right? Like, sometimes if you're winning too much. Like, addictions. Here's a note I wrote down randomly a few weeks ago. Addictions are necessary vices to thrive. And I guess a piggyback on, you know, that is too, like, the thing about addictions that we have deemed to be, like, gambling, money, drugs, sex, foot massages. They have a nice, the build up to it is much better. The process of it is much better than the result or the after effect of it. And, but they are these necessary vices to feel alive. Because we have so much stimulation that these things are almost more necessary than ever to actually be less stimulated, if that makes sense. Because there's so much stimulation that it numbs you. You know, you're so used to just having, we're always used to just being to listen to whatever we want, watch whatever we want, to just kind of always be entertained. Like, a lot of times, I have to go out of my way. I have to make a very persistent effort to actually isolate myself to do nothing, relatively speaking, for a period of time. Or to do things that take very little effort, and I'm actually processing what's happening around me in real time. Like, so much stimulation is really, it really numbs your feeling. It really numbs your feelings of elation and complete de-elation. I think my whole thing with that is, I think a reason why a lot of people, you hear the term people don't feel alive. I think a lot of that is really because the things are doing the living for us. We're not really having to do much. Everything's convenient. You're not having to critically think. Like GPS, like back even like 10 years ago. Like, you know, you would have to print out things or you have to read instructions and really pay attention while you're driving. Take a left here, 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 die, take northbound, 278, blah, blah, blah. Now, it's literally some automated bitch saying, take a left, 250 feet, 150 feet, 50 feet. Now, 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 there's a cop car on the right. There's a red sedan eyeing your behind, you know, stuff like that. Everything is just like spoon-fed to you. And I remember in school, they'd be like, oh, what you, it's like part of learning how to solve a problem was being able to go through the trials and errors yourself and feeling the effects of failure. And not being spoon-fed of like, all right, what to do next? What to do next? You know? I'm not going to lie. One of the biggest cheats, if you had a nice math teacher, would be asking a lot of questions, going to ask school. So then when the test came, like every other question, you raise your hand. He'd come over to you. Like, so I did this. Do I do this? And be like, well, I can't give you the answer. But just think about, if you did X, why would you do Y? And you're like, that's a good question. And then you start putting a letter down, and he'll start looking at you like, you sure about that one? You know, basically, you know. It was spoon-fed. And now, and you know what? You never get better at the things you're spoon-fed. And so, we have so much, we don't even have to seek out nothing. Everything is spoon-fed that we don't actually have to accomplish getting decent at something, which brings self-adulation or brings excitement. I think that's the biggest thing. There's nothing that we have to do or learn to bring excitement or constant attention. Like, there's no ramifications if we wander off. I think that's why we have more of an ADD epidemic, attention deficit disorder. Yeah, where you have a trouble paying attention is because we've been trained over time that there's not really any of the biggest ramifications if you wander off. Like, everything's so easy, relatively speaking, that you can honestly wander off if you drive every day for even half an hour a day. But if you just drive regularly every day, you've done it for years, and it's a similar road, same roads you drive every day, same area. There's time, man, you could go off 2 hours of sleep, not really be awake, going through the motions. You can literally drive like 5 minutes without knowing anything that happened. But you just like know, just based off peripheral vision, green light, red light, there's a car near, blah, blah, blah. Like, you have a gauge of just how to do things without actually having to be present. And to stimulation, you know, I'm not a stimulation expert. I bet this podcast probably feels like a simulation of repeating the same shit, just packaged differently. It is just a big stimulation package. I could really use the 1200 right now. God. I miss those stimulus packages. Not that I was banking on them, but they were nice. And it's weird. I was getting a stimulus package, and I was one of the few people that didn't lose their jobs during that time. And I had a job that was paying okay. But because I got that, I ended up spending it in ways I didn't realize. Because I was like, I don't need the money. And, well, yep. It's always the worst when you look back and think about that time 4 years ago where you had X amount in your account or something. You're like, man, I really should just save that money. And you're like, yeah, but for what? Just have it sit and do nothing? I mean, that's what would happen, you know? Self-sabotage. It's a beautiful thing. But maybe self-sabotage is one of those narcissistic traits that we have that actually keep us in check. Look at Clint just making shit up, making you believe that this shit's believable. It really is self-sabotage is one of those things where if we didn't do it, we would never feel. I think self-sabotage is kind of like speaking to the being stimulated part. When we get too comfortable or when things are just like not interesting enough, we self-sabotage just to create intrigue in our life, you know? And it keeps us in check that having the, well, you know, why am I doing this, that? And then you put yourself in a really bad situation, which brings purpose again to what you're doing, or desperation of what you're doing. And then you're like, oh yeah. And then it creates a cycle of just never getting ahead. That's the beautiful thing of self-sabotage. But it is one of those things. Is it a narcissistic behavior to really just feel like you can fuck everything up and find purpose again and find divine intervention? I should really start a cult. I think it would be cool. Have an LLC. Call it Cult Sabotage. That'd be a cool ass cult. I would join just because you had the balls to put sabotage in the cult. In the name. Yeah. Regions Bank would probably fund that. But like, sure, bank loan for this. What could possibly go wrong? yeah. What are you gonna do, you know? It creates, you know, that's the intrigue in life. The ups and the downs. The speed of sound will make you go deaf. But self-sabotage will make you in debt. Indefinitely. Yep. That's a saying. I'm pretty sure it was like Gandhi or something. Which apparently, by the way, the Pope, shockingly enough, apparently made a anti, I think he made like a, I don't know what to call, like a mess, not a mess, but a slur against, you know, LGBTQ, which I don't know why anyone thought the Vatican, they would be the ones to really watch what they say about how they feel about things, you know. Even though I think they have been pro, you know, choice and all that stuff. But, you know, they're really not. It's weird we rely on these, like, 80-year-old dudes as, like, for guidance. You know, sometimes I think there's a cap on wisdom. There's a cap, like, at a certain age, you know, it's run its course. Like, you're not providing good service at the after the age of 80. It's really not happening. There's literally nothing. There's literally absolutely nothing an 80-year-old can provide guidance that's going to change a 29-year-old's life about something. I'm sorry. I don't understand what is the whole point of... I've never understood the movies, the confessional stuff, where it's basically... There's a priest or some type of person works for the church on the other side. Your identity is disclosed. You go in there and you're comparing. You're supposed to be indiscreet and you're confessing your sins that you have committed or terrible thoughts you've had that are against the word of God. And you are protected at all costs in there. It's supposed to be a safe place, you know. I've never understood why that's okay, but glory holes aren't. well, pretty sure there's a few glory holes in those things. The blades of God's glory. I don't know, man. You know, I was thinking, you know, I've always been a fighter for culture, you know. My culture. I don't know if I really have culture. I've been told by many, you don't have culture. And I'm like, well, culture is more of a mindset and traditions. Man, everyone's got traditions. And, you know, there's people around me, you know, during the summer, they're going to visit, you know, this country where their family's from, that country, or this city far away, and that and the other, taking weeks off to go there. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I don't have culture. I ain't going. Sorry, I'm not going to Saskatchewan to meet my Rough Riders fourth cousins or nothing. And that's, you know, culture will make you, you know, deplete your resources to go there. I gotta say, you're right. I'm not depleting my resources to go anywhere because, you know what? Culture's not really that indebted in me. And you know, in my family lineage, you know, there's obviously there's parts of my family from that go from different countries and stuff, you know. I think there's part in Germany and then, you know, places close to Germany. it's mostly America though, you know. Some parts of Europe, I'm sure, but it's mostly America. America's a culture, you know, different than the culture we live today, probably when they grew up, but you know what, it's there. But I don't know, I guess it's like every family lineage, we've got culture that stems from all over the world in 99.99% of cases, but I guess it's more of just like, is it passed down to really give a shit about? Like, was it deep and rooted to, like, hey, like, growing up, you know, this is where you're from. It's like, I think some families is not that serious. And, you know, in my, like, you know, it was never like, you know, you're a Georgia boy. Don't you ever stem away from it. It's like, I'm a Metro Atlanta kid, you know. We dabble in the places that are convenient to feel cool. And, you know, we know where to see some Georgia peaches. you know, it's, I don't know. I really think that culture, like, it. You could, everyone has family from all over the place. It's just about, like, is it stressed down to you to always stay attached or to really... Is it really important to stay intact with that? Like, I don't care what you become, who you marry, where you want to live in the world. Just remember, this is where it's like, this is where you grew up, you know. This is where you always come back to when your life is astray. When anything terrible goes wrong, when she leaves you for someone better, you know. You always have this place. There's none of that. It's because And look, there's good. I think there's good in both. You know, honestly, I think there's good in both. That there's always that comfort of having an identity, where you're from, what makes you you. Why do I sound like Mel Kiper doing your draft analysis? What makes you you? He runs a 4.3, great coverage speed, kind of lacks agility, backpedal, you know. but then there's also the other side where sometimes if you're so attached to a culture or, you know, your family lineage, that sometimes you're so attached to that you could kind of never forge your own identity to actually really see if that's the version that you're obsessed with being. But then, I don't know, then you could be one of those people that you get shunned from your family because, you know, you turned Amish or something, you know? Someone convinced you to be an escort, and you're like, yeah, that's not a bad deal. but, and, you know, it keeps you, it gives you, like, some type of direction, I guess, where, like, no matter what, you know, this is who you are, which is a lot of good in most cases. Then there's the other side where it's, like, I guess more on my end, where it's, like, I'm not really attached to a region of America. I'm not really attached to, you know, family lineage somewhere. So, like, I can literally create my identity as I get older, no matter what. I'm not subdued to, you know, don't forget, you know, this is where it all started. It's like, hey, you know, just don't become a drug dealer. Don't get anyone pregnant before you're ready. And don't go to prison. And don't do meth. That's typically pretty standard life rules. You do all those things, typically things will be just all right. So it kind of creates that openness to, like, I can be, it's like a kid going to a job fair. I can be whoever I want to be. And then there's going to be some statistical analyst there, be like, well, you know, considering your environment, where you're growing up, your race, your city, your economic opportunities, the schools you go into, you actually only have a 4% chance of ever becoming that. So you should probably think of something more realistic, you know? but, you know, I think there is some type of beauty to not being so attached to having a culture. Now, look, if I had a profound culture I'm from like that, I would probably have a different answer. But I think there's beauty in both. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a strong culture tradition. And I don't think there's anything wrong from not having one. Because I think you're much more probably the, really be open to creating your own identity of the type of culture or traditions you want. You have your pickings out here, you know? That's the beauty of North America. You can be whoever you want to be, even if it ain't who you want to be. Damn, that's actually a pretty good ism. You can be whoever you want to be, even if it ain't who you want to be. Damn. I really think I did something there. That's the dumb part. I'd be saying shit and be like, man, wow. Say it again. Or be like one of those dumbass hoes on Instagram captions. Take notes. And then they put the little note caption. It's like, you don't even know what hand you write with. it's always the one that say take notes. If you saw them take notes, you'd be like, no one can read this shit. take notes of how to take notes. How about that? Take a note. But yeah. Anyways, I guess the moral of this pod is 3-year anniversary of the pod. Question the federal 401k system of why they really want to save your money. Tipping is just odd how it's structured now. And culture. As a man of culture or non-culture or creating my own culture. Why not just create your own culture? Or maybe if you create your own culture, it's called a cult, hence C-U-L-T. So what's the difference between a cult and a culture? I guess one's man-made and one's tradition. One will put you in So one will possibly have a few felonies, and the other, you are protected. So yeah, that is crazy how culture, cult really just short for culture? Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I didn't create the English language, but I do fuck around with it for my convenience. But yeah, that was episode 281 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. God, I hope the audio recorded, because it'd be very disappointing if it didn't. All right, guys, have a great day, morning, night, evening, and night. Deontay Wilder is apparently retiring. And yeah, when you get punched and you start walking the other direction, like, what the fuck? It's probably time. But yeah. Adios. Oh, Jesus. Just, this is the hard part. I sat like that for